mention, I'll make some announcements. Remind me to make some announcements at the end, if you would. But open your Bibles, if you would. I want to go to two or three places tonight. But I want to start in Matthew chapter 1. Then find Genesis chapter number 3. I was thinking this morning as Brother Eric was teaching Sunday school. He doesn't know what all he reveals when he's teaching sometimes. But he was sharing with us his and Holly's dating, during that time, I should say, and the process they went. I thought that was very admirable and an example for many, many to follow. But I was listening and I was thinking about the situation we're going to get into tonight. Brother Eric's been teaching about Jesus, and he's even referred to some of these scriptures. But tonight, I want to look at the doctrine of the virgin birth. I want to talk about the importance. Some of these new translations, I've had people attack me because I stand on the King James Bible. I've had pastors, a lot of pastors, many in this county, attack me because we stand on the King James Bible only. But I ask them sometimes, I said, what have you done? Have you really studied to see the history of the Bible? And just about always, they've never done nothing other than listen to what some people's told them. But when you study the history of the Bible, they came from two manuscripts. The King James was translated out one, and then all these new versions starting just last part of the 1800s being translated out of another. Things that are different cannot be the same. Tonight, we're going to get into this word virgin. In Isaiah 7:14, Alma, the Hebrew word used for virgin, I think there's seven words, different words in the Bible, term virgin. It is the most strongest term used to describe a young girl that is truly a virgin. And of course, you get some of these new translations, they call her a good girl, a young maiden. There's a lot of difference between a good girl and a young maiden and a virgin. And what they are doing is they're attacking the virgin birth. If you take away the virgin birth out of the Bible, you've tore apart salvation. There is no salvation apart from the virgin birth of Jesus. And so tonight, even though many of you know, I want to take a glimpse because I want the young people to realize as well, because when we're dead and gone, if Jesus hasn't come back, there will continue to be attacks upon the blood, upon the virgin birth, and upon other doctrines in the Bible that must be the fact that Jesus was God. The fact that Jesus is coming back, and several different doctrines of his death, burial, his literal death, his literal burial, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and resurrection and ascension up to heaven, all being literal, and his literal coming back. And so therefore, there will be attacks just as they are now. There will continue being attacks. And you young people, when we're dead and gone, you're going to have to defend it. You're going to have to understand it. Some people say it doesn't matter. It matters greatly. And tonight I want to show you some things of why it matters. Now if you look at Matthew chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now what he's doing is he's linking David to Abraham and Jesus to both of them. And he starts at Abraham in verse number 2 that he begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. And as we go down through 17 verses, you find a lot of begats. The word begat mean is that what happened was man produced after his own kind. Through the seed of man, he reproduced another individual. And so what would happen is God made man, he made animals to reproduce after our own kind. And so what we do is we begat. The only two individuals that was not begat until Jesus was Adam and Eve. And they were made and created by God. And that's why Adam is the only one in the Old Testament ever referred to as the Son of God. Everybody else in the Old Testament is angels referred to the Son of God because they were created by God and Adam was created by God. You say, well, how about Eve? Eve was made a man. And God made her by taking out a man and making woman. And so therefore, we find that other than them, everyone that ever came into this world, apart from this one that we're going to look at tonight, has been begotten. They have been begat. They have been born a man and reproduced by man. Now, look if you would in verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. The reason why they put that little phrase on this wise is because it was different than any other birth ever made. It was going to be different. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now, to be espoused in the Jewish tradition during this time and Jewish law, they had basically a legal contract, marriage contract, in being a spouse. They had to be betrothed for a period of a year. A year of being espoused to each other, and virtually in the minds and in the eyes of the law, they were married. But they had never come together and consummated that marriage and could not do so for at least a minimum of a year. And so when they were espoused, she would be just as well as his wife and considered his wife, but yet they had never come together and consummated that marriage through a relationship, an intimate relationship between the two of them. So when we read that she was espoused, it lets us know that they had never consummated their marriage. In verse and the rest of the verse, it says, before they came together, as it identifies what I was just talking about, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now notice that God makes it clear that God was the father of this birth through the Holy Ghost. And she was impregnated by the Holy Ghost, not by Joseph, as some in Germany has started a lie and tried to teach that that it came through their soldiers and different things like that. But anyway, look in verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, putting her away means divorcing her. At this time, someone could get divorced only if in the case of fornication. Now Jesus covers this on over in Matthew. Now a lot of people misunderstand this because basically fornication was the fact that why the man and woman was together being espoused to one another but yet not consummating their marriage, she ended up being unfaithful to him. That was the fornication that Jesus refers to. Some people says, well, we're married and my wife committed this, so that gave me the right to just put her away. Well, that's not true. This was a case that before they come together and consummate a marriage, that she would be found out that she'd been with another man, and he had three choices. He could deal with it publicly, and if he dealt with it publicly, he would have to take it before the elders, and they would take her publicly and stone her. And so Mary, if Joseph wanted to make a public example, could get her stoned. But he could also go ahead and put her away privately. That's what he chose to do, without making a big public stand, but just put her away privately and get a bill of divorcement and separate. Even though they hadn't consummated, legally in Jewish eyes, they were committed legally to each other. And so they had to get a bill of divorcement even at that period of time and part in their life. Now us, we get engaged and we think, well, we break engagement, just go about our business. But that's not the way it was with a Jewish marriage. Now he could also go ahead and marry her, but he chose not to do that. So verse number 19 tells us that he chose the second one, and that was to put her away privately and not try to make a public example out of her. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Didn't have to go and didn't have to wait to a period of time to go through when they tell what, whether it's going to be a boy or girl. I can't think of what it's called right now. But anyway, God knew exactly what it was going to be, a boy. He was going to be called Jesus. Look in verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, Brother Eric taught on that the other day in Sunday school. I'm not going to deal a lot with that, but it's taken from Isaiah 7:14, verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph not only come together and took her as a wife, and so he ended up making the third term, going ahead and marrying her, but he also did not know her, did not consummate their marriage until after the baby was born, okay? Now, keep your finger there a moment. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 15, we have what's called the first prophetic scripture relating to Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. And here we're told, after man had sinned and after Satan had intervened, deceived the woman, and then the woman came and offered to the man, and man willingly sinned. And by the sin of Adam, we know Paul told us in Timothy that the woman was deceived, but Adam sinned. Therefore, when the Bible refers to the sin being passed on to us, it was a sin of Adam. So in verse 15, the Bible says, the God speaks, and he says, and I will put enmity between thee, talking to Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, here the Bible tells us and predicts a couple things. Number one, it tells us that there will be enmity. There will be, our enemy will be Satan. He will always be the enemy of the woman and her seed. His seed will be the enemy of her seed. And so therefore, not only will Satan be the enemy of mankind, his seed will be the enemy of the woman's seed. The third thing is that the woman is going to produce the seed to bear a child. only time in history that the woman, her seed, was used to bring forth a child and not the man's seed. Everywhere else, all of us had been begotten because of our father's seed. But in Jesus' case, he was begotten of his heavenly father's seed, and he was produced to be man, but he always existed as God, but he was incarnated as man, and he was still God, but yet he was man, and he was God-man. And he was done that because of the venture of the woman's seed. Now, it also goes a little deeper when you look into this, and it tells us several other things. One is, it tells us about the hatred of God towards sin. Jehovah God hates sin. He hates sin. Sin cannot come. That's why heaven will have no bearing of sin. God hates sin. But it also tells us something else about Jehovah God, that he loves the sinner even though he is sinful. Isn't that good to know? The third thing that it lets us know is that there will be a separation. Sin will separate man from God. That's why Adam hid himself when he had sinned. Sin separates you from God. There's no way you can ever be brought together and reconciled with God until Jesus came and he was used to reconcile man to God. The third thing I want you, fourth thing I want you to recognize that this reveals to us is it was about a substitution. The innocent was going to die for the guilty, and the guilty could become innocent. We talked about that this morning. Isn't it good to know that the innocent died for the guilty
so that the guilty could become innocent?
Right now, if you are saved, when God looks down upon you, he sees you as righteous. Oh, not because you're righteous, but because Jesus was righteous. He has imputed his righteousness to you. Therefore, you are justified in God's eyes. Not only that, but it also lets us know about our Savior. There is coming a Messiah, a Christ, a Savior, that through the seed of the woman, she's going to crush Satan. She's going to end, the seed of her is going to end at some given time Satan and all of his kingdom and go and destroy it. He's going to crush his head. But Satan is going to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. And Jesus' heel was bruised on the cross of Calvary. Not only that, but it tells us about a salvation. That because of the seed of the woman, is going to be free to all who will be willing to call upon him. And also an eternal security that we can have through believing in him. Now let's look just a few moments at this seed of the woman. As we said, going back to Matthew, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it quotes from there. And as we said, it uses the word of a virgin in the most strongest tense to let us know. It was not a young maiden. It was not some good girl. It was a virgin that had never been touched by man. And so, therefore, what we have is, we have, when we come together at this time of year, we celebrate Christmas. And some people have a habit of putting Xmas. But the fact of the matter is, we can never celebrate Christmas without Christ. Amen. Christ is the meaning of Christmas, of why we celebrate Christmas. Now, let's look on a moment and notice that this was not just something that could happen. And let me touch one other place. I touched it the other day, and I don't want to get off on it too much, but I've had people throw it up in my face before. The Bible speaks of a high priest called Melchizedek. It speaks of it over in chapter 13, 14 of Genesis. And what happens is, people use this Melchizedek because it said that his mother and father was not known. And I forget how it words it. I'll have to look it up again, but I forgot. It slipped my mind when I started to say it. But anyway, it said that he was made a high priest without mother and father or something along those lines. And people has taken that to believe that he was a miraculous born individual. But that's not what it means at all. It just means that he was selected a high priest by God himself out of the lineage of Aaron, and he did not have to be a son of Aaron to be a high priest. And Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek in Hebrews because he was not of the lineage of Aaron either, and he was not of the Levites. He was of Judah. And so therefore God didn't choose him because he was a son of Aaron. He chose him to be high priest because of who he was. He hand selected him to be our high priest. And so Jesus was chosen a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now getting back to this, we need to understand that this birth was a miracle. A miracle is something that cannot be explained, nor can it be performed without the supernatural act of God. There has to be a supernatural act to make it happen. In other words, not another virgin has ever bear forth a child other than this one, because this was the only one it was going to be assigned. Now, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, keep your finger there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice in verse 54, let's get over there real quick. In verse 53, let's go back in and we'll cover it. It says this. It says, "For this corruptible," talking about this corruptible body, "must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." In other words, what happened was, if you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, talking about Jesus, the Bible says in verse 15, verse 14 says, "Thou shalt keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is a blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality." So what we have here is Jesus, who had immortality, was made mortal, that us mortals could have immortality. In other words, we would have a body that would live forever. We would be able to live forever and never die. Jesus made that possible. And only through the fact that he come and become man and made that possible for us. And so therefore, a God, let's read on if you would in verse 16, says, "Who hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." In other words, God was untouchable. You couldn't present yourself before God. But what God did was he became touchable through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." And if you look in Hebrews chapter 4 real quickly, in Hebrews chapter 4, notice verse 15. The Bible says, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Now notice that, without sin. We'll talk about that in a moment. Look if you would in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Notice what John said, one of the apostles who'd laid on Jesus' breast and touched him. He had touched God. Says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. In other words, John says, listen, we were bear witness. We were with him. We heard him. We touched him. We walked with him. In other words, God made himself visible through Jesus through this miraculous birth. Now, why is this important? One, the scriptural credibility is important because if Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, and Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23 is incorrect, then what's to say all the scripture is not incorrect? So therefore, it's important that we hold the doctrine of the virgin birth. And it's not some light thing because the scripture credibility rests upon the fact that he was born of a virgin. Number two, the deity of Jesus rests upon that. Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Notice verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. In other words, this mystery of godliness is a fact that God, the Son of God, came down to earth through a woman and was made manifest to mankind through this woman, through her seed. And so therefore, he still had his deity. He was all God. He never ceased to be God. And he always will be God. He always was God. Amen. Now some of the other religions tries to claim that he was a son of God, a created son of God, a begotten son of God in the sense that we have been begotten. But what God did was, he brought forth his Son who was always from the beginning and in the beginning with the Godhead. And that there was three of the Godhead that always existed beyond our understanding, beyond our thoughts. Time means nothing with God. We cannot wrap our minds around the fact that he always was, always will be. You cannot even wrap your mind around the fact you will always be. Well, what happens in 1,000,000 years? You'll be there. What happens in 10 million years? You'll be there. How about 100 million years? You'll still be there. How can you wrap your head around? And by the way, when I was little, this used to tear me up. Where's the end of the universe? Well, what's on the other side of the end? Well, what goes on after that? What goes on after that? And if you try to, those things are way out of our league. And so is God. But what happened was Jesus, still being God, came down, never ceased being God, did all the things that he did for mankind, went back up to heaven, and he's still God and never ceased being God. Amen? Now, not only that, but also without the virgin birth, the sinless humanity of Jesus Jesus had an earthly father like you and I, then sin was passed on to him. Do you know something? These babies, I've heard people say, my baby. You think when you had your baby, did you look at it, Hope, and say, oh, this little sweet innocent thing. My baby's an angel. No, it wasn't. David said, babies come from the mother speaking lies. And you know, I often use the example, any of them ever cry, get you to pick them up? They're lying to you. Nothing wrong, they just want you to pick up. But the point being is this. The point being is that why were they made in sin? As innocent as they look, they were tainted with sin when they came out of the womb. All of us are. The only one that wasn't was Jesus. Because he didn't have Adam, the seed of man, in his system. And he wasn't made from the sin of man. And so he was made a seed of man. So he was made of seed of woman. Now the Bible is clear on saying many times in the Bible, he was without sin. And to do that, he had to be born of a virgin. Any other way, it would not have been able to be done. Also, we find over in Exodus chapter 12 that the lamb that was chosen to be shed the blood had to be without blemish. Jesus had to have, and if you look in 1 Peter there, his blood could not be tainted. And those of you would in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In other words, this birth, in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, God said, woman, your seed will be at enmity with his seed. And through your seed, you will crush his head. And his seed, through him, he will bruise your seed's heel. But from the foundation of the world, God done said, this is the way it's going to happen. And so it was by no mistake that Jesus come in the fullness of time when God was ready for it, and she produced our Savior. Not only that, but look in Hebrews chapter 2. Why else is it important? Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the what? Power of death, that is who? The devil. In other words, through Jesus being without sin, because God would not accept him otherwise, for him being without sin, part of his responsibility was not only to save us, but he is going to destroy the works of the devil. There is coming a time that the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 10, that Satan shall be cast in the lake of fire, and there he shall be tormented forever and ever and ever. Isaiah chapter 12 tells us that that Satan, when he wanted to exalt his throne above God, that what happened was that through that he will be cast and brought down, and said, then we will look upon him and narrowly look upon him when we see how weak he is in the presence of God and what God's going to do with him. But you know, that's why it's Jesus, and that's why it's important of the virgin birth, because he not only provided salvation for us, he also came to destroy the works of the devil, the one that had deceived the woman and had caused Adam to sin in the Garden of Eden. And so his job was to come and perform that and destroy that. And last but not least, also, look if you would in Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, look if you would in verse 25. The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. In other words, he had to be sinless. He had to be a virgin birth. Turn, if you would, chapter 2 real quickly. Our last verse. Verse number 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So, listen. You say, preacher, how can you feel so secure in your salvation? Is it because you're such a perfect guy? Chris, close your ears for a minute. I'm not perfect. Did you? She didn't hear it. I didn't want her to recognize that. But the point being, listen, all jokes aside, the point being is that if it was up to this guy, I would miserably fail. My security rests in one that is sinless, that has been accepted in the position of my high priest. And he ever liveth now to make intercession for me. And he has saved me to the uttermost. I am saved. I am eternally saved. Not because of me, because of that virgin-born Savior that satisfied God, that could not look upon sin. He looked upon him because he was without sin, and he was made sin for us. The perfect Lamb of God. And so, young people, in days to come when you have to defend, understand it's not a light thing to give up doctrine such as this. The whole Scriptures stands upon the fact that he was virgin born. And this time of year, we're reminded in the city of Bethlehem, in a stable, he was born to a virgin that God had selected to be the instrument to bring him into the world. And the Holy Ghost of God was the one that prepared her to be with child. And she delivered before her and Joseph ever consummated their marriage. So therefore, we have this little baby that is our Savior and our High Priest. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Let me ask you this. Do you understand how important that salvation is? How good God's been to you? How that God has provided a way, as much as he hates sin, and he showed how much he hated sin, he had to put something to death there when Adam and Eve sinned. Something innocent had to die, pointing to and waiting unto he would send his precious son and he would be put to death for our sins. He loves sinners, and he's not willing to see any of you perish, but all come to repentance. But you need to come. If you're here this evening and you're not saved, you ought to come as we sing, Brother Jesse.